WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up, Tuscaloosa, and welcome to the student section. I am your host, Ada McGuirt, joined by Nick Elliott and Bennett Katz, a new member joining us this week. Very excited to have you on the show, Bennett. All right, first things first, before we dive into all the great football things that we have to talk about tonight, we have got to talk about the Alabama men's basketball team. And congratulate them on what was an incredible season. Unfortunately, men's basketball team fell in the Sweet 16 to San Diego State, who won an Elite Eight game and are now in the Final Four. So who knows? San Diego State may end up winning the whole thing, and Bama may have fallen to the eventual national championship winners, which I guess would make the loss a little okay, maybe. I don't know. But won the regular season SEC championship, won the SEC tournament championship, so they doubled down when the SEC championships made it to the Sweet 16. This is one of the most talented teams that the University of Alabama has ever had. Very excited about what Nate Oates is going to continue to do. Also want to congratulate the University of Alabama assistant head coach. I don't know if a lot of people are following this right now, because I just don't know how many people keep up with these kind of coaching moves. But
talking about Brian Hodgson?
Yeah, Brian Hodgson is going to be the head coach of Arkansas State.
And another shout out to Charlie Henry, another assistant head coach at Georgia Southern.
Yeah, so a lot of guys that are going to be moving on to head coaching opportunities elsewhere. We wish them all the best of luck, except against Alabama. Nate Oates, I'm sure, is going to do a good job of finding replacements. In fact, I think because of the success that he has had at Alabama, you know, look at 2 years in the past three seasons, you've won both the regular season championship and the tournament championship in the same year, right? So if you look back at the last six SEC championships, we've won four of them. I think a lot of people are going to look at Alabama as a really great place to go and work under Nate Oates, similar to how people view Nick Saban, right? You go and work for Nick Saban because he's one of the best head coaches in college football history. Well, Nate Oates is kind of turning himself into one of the best head coaches in college football at the moment, who are actively coaching in college basketball. So I think a lot of people are going to want to go and coach under him and learn how he is coaching his team.
Yeah, I love the hard hat and mentality that he's brought too, and it's just such a great program that he's built, and so shortly too. It's just been really amazing to watch. And you go and look at Coleman Coliseum this season, it was packed every night. Students were packed out the door, waiting 2-3 hours, maybe more than that sometimes, trying to make sure that they got a seat. It was just an amazing and incredible season, and I just hope that this continues on over the next few years as Coach Oates, you know, continues to build this great program.
Yeah, I'm very excited about what's going to happen. Obviously, Alabama did the smart thing and extended him. Was it a 6-year extension, I believe?
That sounds right.
Yeah, so extended him. And he's going to continue to be here at Alabama coaching our team, hopefully to more success.
So, it's disappointing into it, but I mean, you bring one of the Coach Saban quotes up, and I don't think one game defines who a team is, and that certainly isn't the case with this year. It was just such a great year. Brandon Miller, best player in college basketball, and I thought that the team actually, you know, they got a lot of hate later in the year with different scenarios, but I thought the team was very, very close together, and that's really what held them through and led them to the SEC championship, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, you're referring to Nick Saban's press conference. Had his first press conference for spring football last week, and he discussed Tony Mitchell, who is a freshman safety for the Alabama Crimson Tide, who was caught evading the police. I believe it was reported he was going like 141 miles per hour in his car. was caught. His passenger had an illegally concealed firearm. They had a copious amount of marijuana on them at the time. So he has been suspended from the team, and Nick Saban made a comment about no such thing as wrong place, wrong time, right? And a lot of people got a little upset and made some conclusions that were probably inaccurate, thinking that Nick Saban was making a dig at Nate Oates, who had said something similar about Brandon Miller in the tragic shooting that occurred during, you know, what was it, maybe January, something like that, recently involving other members of the Alabama basketball team. But Nick Saban did clarify at the Alabama Pro Day, saying that there was absolutely nothing that he said that was directed towards Nate Oates. He doesn't watch Nate Oates' press conferences. He doesn't know really what's going on too often with other teams here on campus because he's so focused on his own team. So it's obvious those comments that he made were about Tony Mitchell and Tony Mitchell only, not Nate Oates. So
we should have guessed that. I mean, Coach Saban doesn't really like press conferences too much. You think he's going to go watch another one?
He doesn't even keep up with what he's saying in his own press conferences.
Yeah, exactly.
He just deals with his team. He just deals with going around him. He does his goes to church. He lives a simple life.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, this is a good segue into what we're going to talk about today. We are talking about the Alabama Pro Day. Obviously, the biggest event was Bryce Young throwing. He, I would say, did pretty well, and we'll kind of get into what you guys saw. Go back. We watched the footage. There was a ton of coaches from around the NFL who were at the Pro Day to watch Bryce Young throw. Obviously, I would say the most notable being the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Frank Reich, who was also at C.J. Stroud's Pro Day the day before. And I believe it's kind of coming down to either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud as the number one overall pick here for the Panthers. But, you know, I kind of got to see some clips of Frank Reich interacting with C.J. Stroud. You got to see clips of Frank Reich interacting with Bryce Young. Very similar interactions. They looks like he's getting along really well with both of those quarterbacks. But the interesting thing to note here, and this is not something that often happens, David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, was also at the Pro Days, and he had taken Bryce Young out to dinner to meet with Bryce Young's family. His parents were in town, and he did the same thing with C.J. Stroud and his family. They took them out to dinner the night after the Pro Day to kind of get to know each quarterback a little better, because at this point it looks like the coaches are going to be able to tell, based on the tape, which quarterback they like better on the field. But when you're selecting a quarterback, especially with the number one overall pick, that person is going to immediately become the face of your franchise in the city. So it's important that the owner know, hey, who do I like best? Who do I think has the best personality? And who do I think will gel the best with our city? So very excited to see what will happen. I think Bryce Young is going to be a top two overall pick regardless, but, you know, we will hopefully root for Bryce. So, you know, I'm going to bounce it to you guys, and Bennett, I'll start with you. When you look back at the Pro Day, you saw Bryce Young throw, saw tons of head coaches present, and I'll try and find the list of the exact coaches, that way I know for sure. But what were your takeaways? Were there some surprises at the Pro Day that maybe you weren't anticipating?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, the Pro Day is such an anticipated draft event for all NFL executives. They call Alabama the 33rd team in the NFL. It truly is. You look over the past 10, 15 years, we've sent far and away the most NFL players to the NFL. And then from the Pro Day, what I saw, I thought everybody had a good day. A couple of surprises. You may have seen some faces you hadn't seen in a long time. DJ Fluker was one of those guys that really stood out to me. He's from Mobile, went to McGill-Tulane, where I went, and then later went to Foley. I mean, he he was just such a great player at Alabama, was drafted 10th overall to the San Diego Chargers, and had a long, long, sustaining, very successful career with the NFL, but hasn't played in the past two seasons. So what do? Alabama brings him back to the pro day. He's going to prove once and again that he can do it, but you're probably not going to recognize this DJ Fluker. If you remember DJ Fluker at Alabama, this was a big boy. I mean, he did not miss a meal. He was a big man, plowing over the defense. But go and look up DJ Fluker, Alabama Pro Day. You're going to be amazed. He has been out in California. He's been doing a lot of training over there. He has slimmed down, and he looks ready to get back in the NFL. You also saw Slade Bolden, another name that you probably hadn't seen in a while. And he came back, and he had a great day, too. He didn't drop a single pass. And so it's always great seeing old faces come back to the Alabama program. And so that was what surprised me the most.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of Cam Newton throwing at the Auburn Pro Day, right? So, you know, I had not been aware that it's pretty common for veteran players to come back to their you know, respective colleges and work in the pro day as sort of just a free workout for them to also show off for a lot of head coaches and general managers who might pick them up in free agency, right? And I do have the list here of the head coaches that were present. So Frank Reich, obviously, of the Carolina Panthers. Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears, which I think is interesting. If you are an absolute nerd like I am, you'll know that Matt Eberflus was a player under Nick Saban when Nick Saban was the head coach at Toledo, I believe. So when head coach
or it was Kent State.
Kent State, excuse me. That's right, Kent State. So when Nick Saban was the head coach at Kent State, Matt Eberflus was a linebacker for Nick Saban. So I think it was probably really cool to see his old head coach now that he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Josh McDaniels, who got his start coaching under Nick Saban as well when he was the a grad assistant at Michigan State under Nick Saban. Mike McDaniel, who was the head coach of the Dolphins. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings. Nick Saban's best friend, Bill Belichick, obviously there all the time. Dennis Allen, the head coach of the Saints. Brian Daboll, who was an offensive coordinator here under Nick Saban. From the Giants, Mike Tomlin from the Steelers, and Pete Carroll from the Seahawks.
You just say the airstrip at the Tuscaloosa airport was packed with private jets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of teams here. I'll tell you the thing that I was surprised about. DeMeco Ryans wasn't here. There was zero representation in terms of head coach or general manager from the Houston Texans. And DeMeco Ryans, for those of you who don't know, was a player at Alabama. He was a All-American linebacker for the Crimson Tide, and I anticipated him to show up and return to his alma mater and look at some of these players that they potentially want to draft, especially Bryce Young if he falls to the number two overall selection. So that is interesting to me that there was no presence from the general manager Nick Caserio or the head coach DeMeco Ryans for the Texans.
Maybe they did all their homework already.
Perhaps.
They're just trusting the game film.
Perhaps. That's another. And I'm sure they had some scouts here.
Yeah, they probably had scouts here and there. And they probably had him. Did they already eat, like, meat with him already? Or was that was probably at the combine.
I'm sure they met with Bryce at the combine, but, you know.
Look, they're probably just going best available, looking to see what the Panthers do, because you don't want to go all in for this one quarterback just for him to go number one. And you're just
sure.
Like,
but, you know, Bryce Young didn't throw at the combine, so I had assumed.
Yeah, you'd think that it's kind of not really smart on their part.
Yeah. You would hope that they would show up. You would hope that they'd be there.
Yeah.
If not, just so that DeMeco Ryans could be back at his alma mater. Maybe, you know, meet up with Coach Saban. But, oh well.
Pro Day, I think the Pro Day is a good thing, especially when you have guys that aren't the spotlight players, because everybody's looking for Will Anderson or Bryce Young, and you get to see maybe guys like for next year or the years after, like, I know, like, Malik Benson, the freshman, or he's a JUCO receiver coming in. He was catching balls from Bryce, and you had Jermaine Burton was catching balls. And it's also nice to see upcoming NFL prospects like Cam Watu and other guys like Eli Ricks go through, because it just brings more spotlight, because when you got all the coaches in, when you have the NFL combine, there's so much happening at the same time. Maybe you're not looking at this player, but you get to see, like, the pro day for all schools. It's just see to focus on that player.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of provides sort of this isolated spotlight because, like, Cameron Latu was the only tight end that worked out here at Alabama. So the team's got to evaluate him and him alone at that tight end position, you know. And then you have guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, who was the only running back coming out of Alabama. And I think he kind of had a really good pro day. I saw Tyler Steen had a pretty good pro day. It looks like he may be evaluated as more of a guard due to some shorter arms, you know. I think he's sitting in like 32.5-inch long arms, and a lot of teams kind of think 34-inch arms is probably the shortest you want to go for a tackle, but maybe he decides, the teams decide that Tyler Steen can move in inside and play guard. So, great opportunity for those guys, and, you know, DJ Fluker at the offensive line position, Slade Bolden at the receiver position, and also Charlie Scott, who was a punter for Alabama several years ago, or I think, like, what was it, 2 years ago he was our punter, right, who is the younger brother of J.K. Scott, also another Alabama guy, who Charlie Scott was there at the pro day punting. It's really interesting, his situation, because I believe he was like a member of the Air Force Academy, and he spent his first 2 years at Alabama or something like that, and he had to go back to fulfill his active duty requirements, but he hasn't served in the military. I don't know. There's a whole situation about that. I don't know the exact details about how that works. Students who are also in military academies, who can leave the academies and go play in the NFL. I think there was a discussion about an Army player who could be a potential first-round draft pick who is being affected by potential new legislation that's going to impact that. So that's something to keep your eye on for you diehard fans out there. List of the general managers that were present at Alabama's Pro Day, you had manager from the Buffalo Bills, general manager from the Carolina Panthers, GM from the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Giants, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Titans, and the Commanders. So a lot of great representation from both head coaches and general managers. And then in terms of the players that were on display at the Pro Day, obviously Bryce Young, running back Jahmyr Gibbs, tight end Cameron Latu, offensive lineman Emile Ekior Jr., Tyler Steen, Kendall Randolph. On the defensive side, defensive lineman Byron Young and DJ Dale, linebacker Will Anderson, linebacker Henry To'oto'o and Jalen Moody, defensive back Brian Branch, Jordan Battle, Eli Ricks, DeMarco Hellams.
Looked like Jalen Moody was still in a boot or something.
Yeah, it says that Will Anderson Jr. was limited in his participation. I don't know if that's supposed to be Jalen Moody. Moody had been hurt, you know, he got hurt and couldn't play in the Sugar Bowl, so maybe that's still a lingering injury that he's having. I don't know if he'll be drafted or not. Obviously, we hope all these guys are drafted very highly. I did see Eli Ricks had a pretty decent pro day as well.
Do you know if they have the numbers anywhere posted, or I guess it just remains with all the scouts and stuff?
I have not. I've not seen the specific numbers.
It would be cool if you could see the, like, Jahmyr Gibbs 40 and see how it compared to the NFL combine time or whatnot.
Absolutely. I do have the numbers for, I guess, Eli Ricks. So, let's see. We don't have the 40-yard dash times. Eli Ricks posted a 10-foot, 7-inch broad jump that would have tied for the number 15 at the NFL scouting combine. So, not amazing, but not bad. It's pretty good. But obviously, he's more of a longer, lankier, taller corner. So, you know, you're not going to expect him to be overly athletic. You know, you're going to expect him to be more size-related. I kind of expect him to be more of like a round two, round three pickup, especially with some of the guys like Devin Witherspoon, Joey Porter, some of these great corners, even like Akili Ringo.
Well, Rick said he was going one, didn't he? He was asked the question on whether or not Bryce or Will should go first, and he said, well, if I had the first pick, I'm choosing me.
Yeah, he did say that. That's not going to happen, unfortunately, Eli. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer, but I still think he'll probably be like a round two or three draft pick in the NFL. So we obviously wish the best of luck to all of these Bama players and hope that they have great NFL careers moving forward. Can't wait to see what they do at the next level. It'd be great if Alabama could finally have a number one overall selection. Despite the great players that Nick Saban has coached over the several years he's been at Alabama or even at LSU, he's never had the number one overall selection. So if Bryce Young is selected number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, that would be the first time that Nick Saban has ever had a number one overall pick.
I'm pretty sure first like ever for Alabama. Like Joe
yeah,
Namath,
I think so.
None of those quarterbacks are, I mean, all the great players. It's just hard to imagine.
Was Joe Namath
none
not selected number one
number
overall?
One. I'm pretty sure it's.
You know what? I think he was, but that was before the NFL
okay,
and the AFL
okay. That's
merged,
probably what it was.
Right? Because that was when they had like the two different leagues or whatever. It was like the AFL and the NFL. And I think he was the number one overall pick at the AFL. I might be totally wrong. I could just be saying stuff that's completely false right now. And I'm sorry if I am. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, just Google it because I'm not entirely sure. But I'm pretty sure, well, at least I felt like Joe Namath was the overall pick for the AFL. He was pick one for the AFL draft, but that ended up being, I think, pick number 12 in the NFL draft. It's kind of a weird transitional phase where those two leagues merged. But that's an interesting point in history. So if you don't know about the AFL and the NFL merging, I encourage you to go kind of read some Wikipedia articles about that because it's a really interesting moment in history. All right, be sure to stick around through the break because we have got a lot more to talk about. Some breaking news today in the NFL regarding Lamar Jackson.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirk, joined by Nick Elliott and Bennett Katz. We are so excited to be joining you tonight talking about some breaking news. It's not often that we get to talk about breaking news in the NFL just because of the day that our show falls on. You know, like Monday nights, not often do you see breaking news, especially during the off season. Most of the time that breaking news comes on Sundays. But this morning we saw Lamar Jackson has tweeted that he has requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens as of March 2nd, which was, 25 days ago. So, obviously, he has not been traded yet. And I have seen reports that as of several days ago, he was still in contract discussion with the Baltimore Ravens. So it seems like Baltimore and Lamar are trying to get something worked out, maybe still, but yeah. At the same time, Lamar Jackson releases this tweet the day of the NFL coaches meeting, and he releases it like a couple minutes before John Harbaugh has to take the stand. And so John Harbaugh is getting kind of bombarded with all of these questions by reporters about the statement that Lamar made about wanting to be traded.
I guess he knew the time he was going to speak. It's kind of smart to get it out when your head coach now is talking to the media at that time.
Yeah, he had no shot to prepare for that either.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So, not a great situation for the Baltimore Ravens, or I would even say Lamar Jackson. No. This has kind of spiraled a bit out of control, and I think it all kind of goes back to the fact that Lamar Jackson does not have an agent. Why don't you have an agent, bro? Hire an agent. Like, it's saving you like 3% on your contract, right? But ultimately, you're losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, he may end up playing on the franchise tag, which is 30-something million bucks, versus the potential $200 million that he could have made, He's really not playing this very smart. It's kind of sad to see, but he is not doing this the right way. He's not making smart choices right now. I don't know if you've seen, like, there's a website that he has that he's posted, and it's like this really generic URL, and like his email that you contact him is like at gmail.com, which there's nothing wrong with Gmail. I use Gmail, but I don't have my own website, right? And if I had my own website, I wouldn't use Gmail. I'd have my own at address. So it's not a good situation for Lamar, right? But it's good for us because we get to talk about it. So let's assume, okay, just have this little exercise here. Lamar Jackson is going to be traded. The Baltimore Ravens are sick and tired of having to constantly negotiate with Lamar Jackson, and they've won two Super Bowls with the likes of Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer, who are certainly not Lamar Jackson, but they did that during the time in which Peyton Manning was in the NFL at his peak and Tom Brady was in the NFL at the Patriots during his peak. So the Baltimore Ravens have gone up against two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time with Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer, who, by the way, Trent Dilfer, the new head coach at UAB, go Blazers, they won Super Bowls with those quarterbacks. And I guess the mentality is, hey, Lamar, yes, we've built this offense around you, but there's kind of another you in the draft in Anthony Richardson.
There, like, might be another you behind you on the bench.
Tyler Huntley.
Right.
Yeah. Tyler Huntley certainly is no slouch at the quarterback position, and he plays the position kind of similar to Lamar Jackson. So maybe you're okay with Tyler Huntley being your bridge quarterback while you develop Anthony Richardson, who is a lot more physically gifted than Tyler Huntley. Bigger, stronger, faster, better arm, more explosive in that way. You also have a new offensive coordinator there in Todd Monken from Georgia. So who knows? Maybe they decide they want to kind of start shifting away from the Lamar Jackson-centric offense to something that's more suitable to other quarterbacks. I don't know. But this is not a good look for Lamar Jackson, right? You know? And yeah. I've heard people talk about the potential Lamar Jackson isn't traded. Lamar Jackson doesn't get an offer from another team, which it appears he's not getting one right now. And the Ravens don't sign him to a long contract. And he decides he doesn't want to play this year for 30-something million bucks because he feels like he's better than $30-plus million. He feels like he's a $200 million quarterback.
I think he is.
I think he is, too. But he won't be if he sits a year, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson, you say what you will about his off-the-field issues. On the field for the Houston Texans, at least for like the last couple years he was there, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He was a top six, top seven quarterback in the NFL with the Houston Texans his last couple of years there. And then he took 2 years off from playing, and we got to see him in six games with the Cleveland Browns, and it did not look great. He did not look in sync. He did not look like the same top 10 quarterback that he was in the Texans. So if you sit a year in your prime, it doesn't do you any favors. I also think that it would continue to hurt Lamar Jackson in terms of his perception with the public. So I want to get your guys' opinions. Yeah. Assuming the Ravens decide they're just going to cut ties with Lamar and trade him somewhere to get some value from him, where do you guys think the best landing spots are? And kind of think of a couple. And we'll kind of go in a circle here. So we'll start with you, Nick. If you were Lamar Jackson, what team do you think you would want to go to the most?
I mean, it's kind of hard because now, I don't know, teams that need a quarterback, I mean, not the Raiders, any Colts, it's the Falcons. I saw Lions are on that list. I don't know. It's just kind of late. What do you think they're going to be asking for? A first-round pick? I mean, that's probably...
Well, I think
if you're going to go with the Colts, then you might as well try and get the 7 pick or whatever the Colts have. Because if you get that pick, then you can go draft a quarterback because you're going to be in the market now. If you draft with, what, the Falcons are in that area, too. They're what?
They are 10?
So
9?
You're still in that range, maybe, but I don't know. I think... I'm starting to think he, I don't know, it could still be, it's kind of an odd situation because it's so late. Because, I mean, if the Panthers would be a good spot for him, but they already traded up because I feel like he would have been a good fit. But I think the team, I think it's going to either be the Colts or maybe the Falcons that try and get him.
Okay. The Atlanta Falcons had the number 8 overall selection in this year's draft. So you think the Colts would be the team that looks at Lamar? I think that's a very interesting point.
I think it just depends on the asking price.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I would expect a first-round draft pick at the very least, because if the Ravens don't trade him, but another team signs him to an offer sheet, they get 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Right? So I think at the very least, we'll assume a first-round draft pick plus potentially something else, like a 7 or a 5, who knows. But at the very least, a first.
Yeah. It would have been better if it was a couple weeks ago, because now clock's ticking, or what, a month away from the draft, a little under a month away. So trades usually take a little bit. And you see Aaron Rodgers' trade still hasn't even happened. I mean, maybe the Jets. I mean, I don't think the Jets are – they're still all eyes on Aaron Rodgers, what it seems like. So I don't think they're going to switch lanes and go to – take the exit and try to get Lamar, but I think they're going to stay on the highway for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so what you're saying, your best choice would be the Colts.
Yes.
And I think I agree with you, especially when you think about Shane Steichen as the head coach and what he did with Jalen Hurts. There are two quarterbacks who are both running quarterbacks who have great ability to run the ball, and Shane Steichen did a great job with Jalen Hurts. So, Bennett, I'm going to go to you now. When you look at the Lamar Jackson situation, what are the teams outside of the Colts that you think would be a really good fit for Lamar Jackson?
I definitely think the Falcons is the first team that comes to mind when you think of Lamar Jackson. I think he'd be a great fit over there. Obviously, they've struggled the past few years, but really it's been quarterback issues. You bring Lamar Jackson in there, I think you really change their team around. I think he can, you know, come right away and benefit that team very quickly. And then I do think the Jets, they might get impatient with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Rodgers wants to go. There's no question about that. He said that on the Pat McAfee show a few weeks back. But the Packers, they might not be willing to negotiate, or they might not be willing to give him away for what the Jets are willing to offer. So I'd keep an eye on the Jets. And then maybe I don't want this to happen, but the Patriots could potentially look for Lamar Jackson too if they're unhappy with what Matt Jones is doing. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we can stay calm as Alabama fans. What are you saying, Nick?
Yeah, what came out today was Meek Mill was trying to – I think he contacted Robert Kraft, and he's like, you'll have to talk to Bill Belichick about that. That's Bill Belichick's decision on that trade.
Yeah, that's not happening. I can't imagine Bill Belichick going with a guy who's going to look at his first read and it's not open and then decide to run it himself. That doesn't seem like the Patriot way.
I doubt it, but then remember when they signed Cam Newton too? That was kind of
Shocking.
Yeah,
that did not work out very well, did it?
Right. I would assume they'd learn from their decisions too with Cam.
Well, they did have a defensive coordinator as a offensive coordinator, so it can't get much worse.
True. All right. So your top pick would be the Falcons, and I think that'd be another great pick. When you look at, you know, Mark Andrews has been Lamar Jackson's favorite target, the tight end there, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Falcons have potentially the best, in terms of talent, receiving tight end in the NFL outside of Travis Kelce with Kyle Pitts, so maybe that could work. And I think that the offensive system that Arthur Smith, the head coach there, runs is really kind of fits what Lamar does well. When you go back to what he was able to do with Ryan Tannehill, moving Ryan Tannehill out, bootleg plays, things like that. It's a, you know, kind of a running back centric offense with Cordarrelle Patterson there. So that'd be a good landing spot. The team that I'm going to go for is the Detroit Lions, who have the number 6 overall draft selection from the Rams, but they also have the number 18 overall pick, which is their own draft selection. So they have 2 first-round picks, so if they were to trade one away, they would still have a first-round pick to pick up probably like a defensive back or something like that. But when you look at the receiving core that they have with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, I think, is going to have a massive breakout year now that he's coming back from his ACL tear. DeAndre Swift at the running back position, along with David Montgomery, who has been with the Chicago Bears for a while. Improved offensive line. I really like Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator. I just think that they're kind of a team ready to compete, especially when you think about Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers. The Packers won't be the same. The Bears are terrible. And the Vikings, while good, they played in, what was it, 9 or 7 one-possession games last year. Granted, they won all of them, but that's not really something that you can see being consistent. You can't just play one-possession games all the time and expect to win all of them all the time. So the Lions are kind of in a position to where I think that they could compete to win their division if they had a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who could kind of become the X factor for them. Jared Goff played well, except when he played outside, and he certainly does not have the legs that Lamar Jackson does. So I'm thinking the Detroit Lions would be my top pick.
Yeah, man, I like that one. That would be the best for offensively wise, because they have probably the best receiving core out of those three teams, and solid. I mean, a good offense. You have good running backs. I think the Colts want to be interesting. I mean, they got, because the Ravens haven't really done much. I mean, besides Mark Andrews, their receiving core is bottom 10 of the league. It's not very good at all. You have no like names popping out, but another guy who's on the shopping block is DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where he also ends up. I mean, you got the Lamar sweepstakes, and you got DeAndre Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins is getting a little, I mean, that's kind of getting overlooked, but I guess it's a receiver. I mean, you can just get a receiver anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, the DeAndre Hopkins trade sweepstakes is really interesting.
There's no way it'll end up like last time.
Well, who knows? Yeah, well, because Bill O'Brien's not the one in charge of trading him. But, you know, he's an older guy. He's not as young as a lot of these, Jamar Chase or, you know, a Justin Jefferson. He's not the young guy like these dudes. He's 30 years old, yeah. You know, and we've seen guys when they get in their 30s, especially receivers, they just start to kind of fall off a little bit. Like Julio Jones is in his 30s as well. But he is certainly not the same receiver. He's only 34. So he's 4 years older than DeAndre Hopkins.
That's crazy.
And
yeah, I mean, I want to see the Ravens make a move at receiver, because they've done nothing. They've done nothing to help themselves out. And I mean, Lamar, I think smart for him to request a trade, because they've done nothing to help you the past couple of years, especially the past year. I mean, you see a team not, I mean, I know they're probably prioritizing trying to figure out a contract to pay you, because you can't pay everybody in the NFL, and the Eagles learned that the hard way. But it'll be an interesting to see next over a couple of weeks to see where Lamar ends up. I mean, all things considered, he could end up just back square one and be still with the Ravens.
He could, yeah.
I mean, this could happen on draft night. I mean,
absolutely.
A.J. Brown happened on draft night, and nobody knew about that. I think another team that could maybe make a jump is the Titans, but for a trade, but I don't know maybe how much trade capital they have.
I think the Titans are in a position to where they're in rebuild mode, right? Yeah. When you look at their defense, they have a defensive lineman, a safety, and Derrick Henry. That's kind of it. That's
but Lamar
all that
Jackson
have.
And Derrick Henry in one backfield, can you imagine as a defense?
But the problem
to stop
is they're considering trading Derrick Henry away.
I don't think, right? I think they said that, and then they said that was not happening anymore. The day after
there's no way. I mean, Derrick Henry is the Titans.
Derrick Henry is their offense.
One website said it, and then CBS is like, they're not shopping Derrick Henry.
Well, we shall see what happens. I have seen things to where, like, the Bills have shown interest in acquiring a Derrick Henry. And if I'm Derrick Henry and I look at the trajectory of the Tennessee Titans and the trajectory of the Buffalo Bills, I certainly would prefer to play with the Bills because you have a pretty good chance, especially if you add Derrick Henry.
Or you added,
to the Bills.
They added
Damien Harris.
Damien Harris.
Absolutely, who is automatically their best running back now.
Yep.
So, got a lot more to talk about in terms of trades, especially with Aaron Rodgers when we return on the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden Quirk, joined by Nick Elliott and Bennett Katz. We are talking about NFL trades, and I guess trades that haven't happened yet, but hopefully will happen soon. We left off talking about Lamar Jackson. He's got a really weird situation going. He's got people that are not affiliated with the NFL reaching out to teams on his behalf. It's got like the NFL Players Association's getting involved to where they're telling teams not to negotiate with these people. It's a lot, and I feel like Lamar Jackson's kind of digging himself into a hole here, kind of making his situation, which wasn't great to begin with, a lot worse. And hopefully he can either, you know, start reaching out to teams on his own, which is what you're supposed to do when you represent yourself. I guess, you know, hey, saving that 3% on your contract that you don't have to pay an agent. You got to do the dirty work yourself, bro. You got to reach out to teams yourself. Or maybe you just hire an agent. That's an option still. Hopefully they can come in and clean up that mess that Lamar Jackson's making right now. I want him to get paid. He's a great player. He deserves to get paid a whole lot of money. But at the same time, you got to go about it the right way, and he's not doing that right now. We kind of talked about some of the teams. You know, we mentioned the Falcons, the Indianapolis Colts, the Detroit Lions as some of these top places for him to potentially go. I got to say, a team that, you know, kind of I forgot about until the break here was the Commanders. You think about Eric Bieniemy at the offensive coordinator position.
That definitely could be a spot, I think.
Yeah, the wide receivers that they have, their offensive line's not bad. They have a really good defense. Brian Robinson Jr. at the running back position. That could be a really interesting spot for Lamar Jackson.
Scary Terry McLaurin. You got some good receivers.
Yep.
That is a spot I forgot about. But I guess they're just gonna. I didn't really hear anything about them, so I guess they could come in to sweepstakes late. I think they're going to see what they have in Sam Howell before they do anything.
Yeah, see, I don't know how I feel about that. Sam Howell, to me, he's a really late-round draft pick, which we've seen guys like Tom Brady have success before. But Sam Howell played in one game and looked okay. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not. The thing that sort of happened, and I feel like it's happening right now, is these NFL owners don't want to give players these fully guaranteed contracts, right?
What makes it really easy, because when you can, they want to get guys on rookie deals. When you get a quarterback on rookie deal, you can spend. Just look at the Eagles. The Eagles spent money all over the place. AJ Brown, everywhere on defense, getting every veteran there was on defense, and then look what happened after they had to sign Jalen Hurts after he gets off his rookie deal for a big deal. You see players left and right leaving.
Well, they haven't signed him to a long-term contract
yet.
Well,
didn't they give him a contract extension?
I haven't seen that.
I thought they did.
I haven't seen that. I don't know if he has been signed.
He needs to be.
Let me look. I thought he did. I guess we'll see. But they did have to get rid of a lot of people to make room for it, probably.
Yeah, so as of 3 hours ago, Howie Roseman said that it is a priority for us to extend him. So they have not extended Jalen Hurts as of yet. So he's still on his rookie deal, but they know they're going to have to.
Yeah, so that's why I think they had to do that, because they want to be able to sign him, do it soon.
Sure. But still, Lamar Jackson's so much better than Sam Howell. But, you know, what I think is interesting is the owner for the Washington Commanders, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, yeah, Snyder.
Yeah.
They're still trying to sell the team. So I guess that's why you're going through a new ownership. So I guess they're going to try to get out of that. I don't even know. That's a whole another fiasco. Yeah. That
one thing I've seen that maybe he does do.
They didn't need to sell
because
the team.
Snyder, I don't think, is very loved by all the other owners. So maybe he kind of just sends the biggest middle finger to all the other owners, and he goes ahead and signs Lamar Jackson to this massive, fully guaranteed contract, which resets the market because now you've got two quarterbacks on these giant, fully guaranteed contracts, which means all these other quarterbacks are going to expect to be signed to fully guaranteed contracts, and then he sells the team to Jeff Bezos and leaves. For Jeff Bezos, $200 million is pocket change, really, at this point. He's the richest man on the planet, except for that dude who, like, sells perfumes or whatever.
Is that – so are they need to find an – it's been going on for a while, them trying to find an owner. They need to
– Is Bezos – has he said he wants to do it?
You know, Bezos has been sort of the rumored guy. I think I saw something where he had hired some external people to kind of look into it. You know, he owns the Washington Post, so he already owns something in Washington, D.C. Obviously, Amazon Prime Video taking on Thursday Night Football. It's clear Jeff Bezos has an interest in the NFL because of that move. Maybe he decides to get in on a franchise. The Commanders, they're like a top, I guess we consider them a blue blood franchise. You know, they're not called the Redskins anymore, but they still have the fan base. Right. Yeah. And I think that if you sign a guy like Lamar Jackson, you'd have a lot of people, fans of Lamar Jackson, who live in Baltimore. It's not very far to Washington, D.C. They just start going to Washington, D.C. and root for Lamar Jackson. Right.
And, yeah. And what's I mean, what's that? It would be nice to see a new ownership because that stadium is quite the wreck. Because when you have fans falling on the field like they did last
year. Oh, yeah. They about hit Jalen.
When Jalen Hurts. Yeah. That. Just shows you that just shows you how bad the ownership is, and not even fan safety of the stadiums. I mean, they need to get out. That Snyder family needs to sell the
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, somebody can come in. Cause who did they? Didn't they? I know they. Who didn't they re-sign? Deron Payne on like a big deal.
They did. They made Deron Payne the highest paid defensive tackle outside of
Aaron Donald. I knew they did that. I knew someone on the Commanders. I knew it was Deron Payne. I was just making sure, but congrats to Deron. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yep.
So maybe that is hindering them a little bit on the
I don't know.
I don't know how much money they have on the cap space.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. All right, real quick here before we get out, another trade that is sort of pending, but has not happened yet, is the Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets trade. I guess compensation has been a bigger problem between the Packers and the Jets than was kind of foreseen. But I want to get your take really quickly. If the Jets do end up signing Aaron Rodgers, are they the favorite to win the AFC East? Even with the Dolphins, even with the Bills? Nick, I'll start with you real quick.
No, I don't think so. They're still. I think they could be, but it's still the Bills' division. They still have. They have way too many young talent. I think they can. I just think they'll be. The media will get to. Not the media will get to them. I think they'll suffer a couple losses because that division's gonna be a little tight. No game's gonna be given in that division. So I think it'll come down. I think they'll get second or second. I mean, they could. It could probably come down the last couple weeks for it.
All right, Bennett, what do you think? If they get Aaron Rodgers, AFC East champs maybe?
I don't know about that. I kind of agree with Nick. The Jets are definitely an improving team, and they've signed a bunch of guys already. And so I definitely think adding Aaron Rodgers, Stephen A. Smith calls him the bad man, and he definitely has that ability to win a Super Bowl if given the right weapons, I think, was the main issue with the Packers, or Packers fans seem to say that. I don't know. I think they could win the division, but like Nick said, I mean, that division is just tough. It's going to be very, very difficult.
Any division in
the Bills?
AFC is tough. Yeah.
The Bills are going
to
be
Bills,
tough.
Dolphins, I mean, that's
– Yeah.
You don't want to go up to Buffalo to try and win the division in late December. You don't want to have to do that.
Certainly not. The Dolphins have two of the best corners in the NFL and one of the best defensive minds
and
to go alongside Mike McDaniel, who's a really, really bright offensive guy too.
Yeah, and I know Mike McDaniel said today, he was like, I just don't want to make the playoffs. I want to go in the playoffs and win. So that's another team you don't want to have to go through in your own division.
Wouldn't it be crazy if Bill Belichick, who's the greatest head coach in the history of professional football, ends up at the very bottom of his own division?
Yeah, that'd be very crazy.
That'd be very unfortunate. It might happen, though. Tua is undefeated against Bill Belichick, I believe, as a full-time starter. And the Bills, I mean, the Patriots couldn't even make them punt 2 years ago in the playoffs. And the Jets are getting better and better and better. Yeah, might happen. If the Jets do acquire Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I'm still going to lean Bills. But the problem is the Bills lose Leslie Frazier, their defensive coordinator. And quite frankly, as good as the Bills have been, they're just not the Chiefs. They're just not the Bengals even. They just haven't quite put everything together yet. And I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what they're going to have to do to put everything together. So maybe the Jets with an Aaron Rodgers, a top five defense last year in the NFL. And they have good weapons now. Mecole Hardman, Alan Lazard, and Garrett Wilson all on the team. Could be really, really dangerous offense if you add Aaron Rodgers. All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight on the student section. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to continue to tune in every Monday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. Got a lot of football to talk about. I know it's the off season, but if you aren't paying attention to the moves that are happening during the off season, you may be blindsided when some teams surprise you once the season starts. So be sure to continue to tune in. We're going to keep you up to date on everything that's happening in the NFL and in college football, especially with the Alabama Crimson Tide as they continue their spring practice. We will see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.